What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 1st. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Wow. We got 3 months left, pretty much like straight to it, 3 months. I can't believe we're already at the halfway point this year. It's time for reflection, as the All-Star break usually is. But like, let's be honest, right now is really the halfway point. And it's wild with PitcherList. I don't do this a lot, and I probably will do it a bit for the All-Star break at some point. I'll do one of these. But I just want to mention, thank you all so much for listening throughout the year. Thanks a lot for reading our stuff, for giving us feedback, for just being a part of what we're trying to do. If you're unaware of what the goal is with PitcherList, we are not trying to be just a blog or a podcast. We have large aspirations, and everybody who has supported us through PL Pro Lifetime or just PL Pro in general, PL Plus, whatever it is, or just by recommending to your friends and stuff, thank you so much, because as a company, our goal is to just make for you the best stuff. I'm not someone who's ever going to sell PitcherList. I've said that many a time, and for me, my happiness is not trying to get mountains of wealth. It is instead to get my wealth through the community and the people, and by creating something I am proud of. So we are working with different companies and putting together some unreal products like our mobile app and the Pro Dashboard for next year. As far as the future goes with the fantasy platform and what we want to do with the baseball bar. So you are all helping us so much continue that journey. And thank you all for being here. And I sincerely hope that you are with us through the end of the season, at the very least, because we will be here for you. James Paxton, 4 innings, 9 earned runs, 12 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Oh boy! Yeah, this is it. Goodbye, James Paxton. What's kind of funny is that he didn't really do anything different. It has been like the same thing with James Paxton of upper third four-seamers and downstairs curveballs. Yes, he threw more curveballs than he did four-seamers and didn't work out, but like, that's who he is, and he gave us so much. 7 wins, 3.5 ERA, when we thought like this was just a month temporary thing. Sure, they're going to keep starting him, and if you really want to go after him for another game, you can do that. Generally, he's not going to allow 9 runs again. It's very possible he's okay. He did that before. He had like a 6-run game and he came back. But he gets the Brewers, and I think this is it. I think this is the full end of the line. I've been saying that for a bit, but like, really good stuff, Paxton. Thank you all. Thanks for the fish and so long. Okay, I got that wrong. Seth Lugo against the Guardians, man. If you want to talk about egg in my face, I got a ton with Seth Lugo. 10 strikeouts, 6 in runs, 0. 6 innings, 0 in runs, 4 hits, 1 walk. 26 strikeouts, last 3 starts. I've been saying like Lugo isn't going to do this, continue to do this, and he just has. It's pretty cool. I just have to keep raising Lugo because he's just continuously coming through. And while I do feel as if he's more of a better version of Chris Bassitt, not like a Max Fried type. I still feel like Seth Lugo has been a fantasy ace for so many of you, and it's pretty great. 13 whiffs on curves, change and slurves, not even the sliders. Like 8 pitches he throws in a given night is a kitchen sink thing. Eno and I have talked about him a lot on The Craft. Totally got that one wrong, but at the same time, it's like, did not have any indication that he would all of a sudden become this kitchen sink guy, which is pretty cool, and huge, huge props to Seth Lugo. Lance Lynn against the Reds got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Almost gave him the gold star, but there's someone else who deserves it. He got 14 whiffs on his four-seamer across 76% usage. I mean, that's really cool, but let's be honest. You should not be going after Lance Lynn. Like, this is way too risky. Do not dance with Lynn, okay? So I like to say, you get the 2 Ls, you're going to get a third. Taj Bradley against the Nationals came through for a win. He's still a general disarray with a little bit of chaos with a four-seamer, but oddly enough, despite having like a scattershot, 77% strike rate on that four-seamer, actually 76, and then you got a 70% strike rate also on the splitter, even though that wasn't like perfectly down. That's awesome. I mean, that's all I need. I just need those two pitches getting elite strikes, even both above 65%, not even 70%. But that's why you have 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 11 Ks. That fastball is really hard to hit. And if you're establishing that and pounding the zone with it, then they have to completely honor it, which makes the splitter that much better. So you just need to get that around the zone and not wasted, not a uncompetitive pitch, right? So 22 cutters going 55% strikes is not really the ideal either there. But, you know, I think he did try to do more with that as opposed to make that the 70% strike rate pitch. And that's fine with me. Like, if you have the two for Taj Bradley that are fastball, splitter, getting the strikes, cutter can then be saved, and that's good. And you don't really make that the mistake pitch. So I'm happy. Got four whiffs on that one. We're obviously going to roll with Taj Bradley. I mean, he's essentially become like the Blake Snell, almost, like what we want Hunter Green to be. It's still so weird because he's not really a command guy, but you just need a good enough location plus, right? Our PLV location plus is like, it's fine. So then that's good. Just get strikes. Really, just get enough strikes. Your stuff is good enough. Okay. Casey Mize against the Angels got the win. 5.1 innings of 0 runs. If you remember last game, I was like, hey, look, he's looking better. And I feel like this is the start to go for because it's a good risk reward of, hey, maybe he does really well here. And this is the launching pad. And you already have him on your team instead of the waiver wire. We don't really feel like the floor is as low as it has been for Casey Mize. And he did well, yeah. 5.1 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. Heater was still hard at 96 miles per hour. It was like 16 inches of vert, not like the 17 or 18 that we saw in the spring. We'll take that like 15-7, fine. At least it's not like 14 inches. So that's good. And it was located really well up in the zone. Really good Fan 4 Plus, really good PLV Location Plus. If you don't know what those are, that is the app that we have with PL Pro members to look up four-seamers every day about like the four things that matter for a four-seamer are velocity, extension, induced vertical break, and their attack angle. That's what makes up Fan 4, the Fantastic 4. That's what I call it that. And then you have, of course, your PLV location. That is the other side. So Fan 4 Plus to me is very much of a stuff indicator. It's like a shorthand version of stuff. And then you have your location, right? Both of those were great yesterday for Casey Mize's four-seamer. But here's the thing. The slider, an 8% swing strike rate. No, it's like a 2 over 24 in this. And it gets strikes, and that's cool, but you need that extra thing. You know, I actually even saw a tweet someone saying, man, if Mize gets like a pitch to throw in two strikes or in whiffs, like he's going to be a dude, right? I'm like, yeah, exactly. And I thought the slider would be more of that early in the year. Maybe it could be that four-seamer, but he's not quite there. Like 26% swing strike rate was fantastic with the heater. He got 8 whiffs on it. But it's, you know, it's like the Jameson Taillon problem. He talked about it with me where you have four seamers that you get swing strikes with early in the count. He said, great, but now that's something that they're going to foul off later on in the bat. I need one more thing. And I always felt that way with the Yankees, and it was really tough to like end in a bat. And Casey Mize needs that with a slider, or he needs something else for that. So I'm curious with how that will shape out over time, but at the very least, making that foundation of a four seamer is the first step that he's gone in and out on. And that's good, and the slider needs to be a little bit better. Maybe there's a sweeper to figure out, or I don't know. It's not the splitter. It's not that. Josh Winkowski against the Padres. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But that's typical. 58 pitches. Like, we don't think that Winkowski is going to go 70, 80 pitches. So he's probably going to do it. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this, right? You have, that's not something you should really lean in on, and it's whatever. Sean Dubin opened, or I don't say opened, 3.1 innings as they're trying to stretch him out, maybe, because he's their SP5 right now, which is wild for Houston. I wouldn't be shocked if they make a deal in the next week before that start. Like, go and get Tyler Anderson now, essentially, the Astros would do. I don't know. They're trying to stay competitive and stuff, with Framber Valdez being, it's kind of weird. And you lost Javier, you lost Urquidy, you lost France for the year. Bloss was hoping to be like something that would help, and he's now injured. Like, it's been really tough for the Astros right now. So I don't know how heavy they want to go into this, but I feel like they got to find something instead of Sean Dubin. You have Freddy Peralta against the Cubs. 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. That's great. You love it. This was really Peralta at his peak. Blake Snell blueprint in full effect. 4 seamers upstairs, but you got changeups and sliders. Opposite sides of the plate actually like spotted. My gosh. Please just do it all the time. All the time. Brandon Fought against the Athletics. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. And this is cool. Because Brandon Fought to me, if you guys say to yourself right now, what is my biggest criticism of Brandon Fought? Right, his sweeper's really good. And there's nothing else that really is carrying his entire arsenal. Sure, the four-seamer times is good. The new sinker is all right. but like there's not any of that extra secondary pitch. And now he has one. It's a curveball that went 8 for 11 strikes, which doesn't seem like a lot, but then you pair it with the changeup that was 8 for 10, all of a sudden that's 25% of his usage at like 75% strikes. That's big. It was a 45% CSW on that curve. That wasn't there before. It was just a changeup at times for Fott. So that's huge. I mean, look, the sweeper and the four-seamer generally should perform well against right-handers. Against left-handers, the sweeper is just a bad pitch. We know this. We know that platoon splits on sweepers are just generally bad. It goes into the bat. It helps them out. They curl around it. They pull it. Pull fly balls or what you want as a hitter, and bam, not good. So the sinker then opened up for 61% CSW. And yes, there was some blame on the athletics, but he got it down really well here. There's a possibility here that Fott is actually turning into that Holly instead of that cherry bomb slash Toby of like good enough for my fantasy teams, but is this going to push it? That is cool. He does get the Padres next. I would try it out and see if that curveball is going to stick around for Fott. If it does, then we're talking like, okay, now I'm more of a believer with you. We have other guys, of course, to talk about from yesterday's games, and we're going to talk about all of them. And of course, today and tomorrow's after this break. Luis Medina against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Look, this is what he does. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Okay? You got 9 slider whiffs and 42% CSW and lots of outs on the four-seamer. That's cool. The high strike rate is a big deal for Medina. Yes, he had 3 walks, but he did have a generally high strike rate, and that's just what he needs to have all the time, but he just doesn't. Joe Ryan against the Mariners got 10 strikeouts and 5.2 innings, as he should. The Mariners are weird. I'm just like, well, they're terrible against four-seamers. Oh, yeah, and changeups, and generally sweepers, too, and, oh, yeah, they're just, like, really bad. They're like, one of the highest strikeout rate teams in the majors. So if you have a strikeout guy, especially that, like, soars upstairs with four-seamers, yeah, you'll do really well, and Joe Ryan did that. So, cool stuff, obviously. Ace is going to ace, all right. Gerrit Cole, looked at Gerrit Cole a little bit more. Not all the way against the Jays. Got the win, 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Huge things to report here. One, 90 pitches. Good, right? No injury, no nothing. We were scared about the drop in velocity in the other one. Fine here. Velocity was a 96. We'll take that. He had a very brief dip on like 2 heaters near the end, maybe 3. But like, fine. We're good. Maybe it was like him slowing, like taking it easy for a moment. Then he you know, ramped it back up, right? Slider was spotted well. Yeah, it was like the slider and cutter were kind of inconsistent, but generally the slider was good. And I think we're all right at the moment. We're still not like, oh my gosh, Gerrit Cole is here. So I'm going to drop him down. I'm going to remove him from the ace is going to ace, I think, in general. I think we're not there yet. And I'm going to do the whole notes about like, look, I was too presumptive with it. I was like, I'm probably going to raise him up again. Maybe I'll put him at the end of ace is going to ace tier. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like we're good. At the same time, we have seen guys like Gerrit Cole who have an elbow injury or something like that, and then they are not actually healthy. We've seen that a couple times. Kyle Bradish. So yeah, hopefully he's all right. Billy Falter against Atlanta came through. Four-seamer and slider here. Get traded to the Rays. My gosh. Please, maybe this is the Astros get, whatever, I don't know, there's a history there, right? Joe Musgrove and whatnot, Vince Velasquez, right? Yeah, I don't really want to go after Billy Falter at all. I just don't think this stuff is good at all. Spencer Bivens, you got the gold star, buddy, and I'm happy for you. 5 innings of 60 pitches, okay? But this was against the Dodgers, you got the win. 1 and run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. That's cool. Your last pitch was a sweeper inside to Ohtani that just kept going. And I was saying, oh, sweepers are bad against lefties. Well, when it's really inside, it's okay. Awesome. He's not stretched out. He's really a sinker sweeper guy. He doesn't really have much of a changeup or cutter. It's not really the big thing. He's not the guy to pick up. Like, we just move on. I hope that he's better and, like, makes me feel, I don't know, I have more conviction, I should say, about him. But Spencer Bivens right now, I'm happy for him. It's a cool story. But yeah, he's not the guy that I want you shouldn't be chasing necessarily right now. Hunter Green against the Cardinals, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Annoying inefficiency here with the slider, just a 59% strike rate. Slider strike rate, only 32% zone rate, which is not what we need from him. We wanted to be throwing slider strikes. And that's that. Garrett Crochet is amazing. I'm going to do a pitcher breakdown of him. I know I haven't done them for a little bit. I'm going to be doing them this week because I will be away next week and not be able to do these. Against Rocky Road, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, golden goal, 24 whiffs, and 41% CSW of Garrett Crochet is just stupid. Andrew Heaney against the Orioles. PL Bot predicted this one. This was their pick, and I was like, what? Really? Like, it's a lefty against the Orioles. Wow. 7 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 10 strikeouts. Guys, PL Bot is good. PL Bot's like really good. Yeah, they are killing it this year, and I am like neck and neck. Like, I'm actually one of the rare times down to PL Bot. And what's also really cool about it, we often pick different guys. I would love to be replaced. Less work for me to do. Okay, Andrew Heaney, though. He spotted things glove side so well. Slider down and glove side incredibly well. Like, peak Dodgers Andrew Heaney slider there. And then four-seamer upstairs. It was pretty much Blake Snell blueprint there. It's a new slider that is a little tighter. That is, it's not as much depth, but more of sweeping action. And actually, it didn't have extra horizontal. It just didn't drop as much, but came in about 2.5 ticks harder. So that was clearly a plan for Heaney as he changed his grip a little bit. Probably allowed him to get better command of it. And it clearly paid off. I also imagine the Orioles were a little thrown off by the new slider. There's something to say there. He gets the raise next. I think we go for that and go. And talk about that one after. Kyle Freeland against the White Sox away from Coors worked out. 6.2 innings with 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Sure. Like, it's one of those things where everybody needs a team like the White Sox, by running the roundup, that just makes you feel good. You know, like, you're having a bad day, all that song, whatever it is, but you need something in your life that's just like, yeah, you know what? I am cool. I am good. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me, you know? And the White Sox do that for a lot of pitchers, and that's cool. Freeland, you're not actually that, though. I'm really sorry. Luis Castillo against the Twins. I got some stuff in chat today. Hey, Luis Castillo, are we, like, panicking and dropping? Don't be panicking after, like, 5 innings of 300 runs against a good Twins team. 6 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks, right? Like, he's fine. This is the bad start, as I do air quotes, and that's one earned run off of a productive ERA, right? Like, it's fine. Only 77 pitches. I'm not worried here. I know it was a little bit low in velocity at 95. Everybody has bad stretches in the year. I think it's one of those things of, like, we just keep going. Also, Luis Castillo is one of the most sturdy innings guys in the majors, which I guess should concern you, but everything should concern you, so I don't know. Logan Allen against the Royals, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, and we're gonna stop doing this one, right? Thank you all so much for not picking up Logan Allen. Matt Waldron, a little disappointing here in Fenway, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Just 5 whiffs, 28% CSW, and 74 pitches. Well, the thing with Matt Waldron that's so interesting to me is that I say don't trust a knuckleballer, right? And you really shouldn't trust them as in, hey, I know what I'm going to get on a given day, because you won't. He doesn't. The thing about Waldron is that he's not just a knuckleball. And that's what kind of makes me intrigued, because what we've seen is when the knuckleball isn't there, the other pitches are actually good. We saw multiple games of 40% plus CSWs on his other pitches. We actually saw 2 of those pitches do that in his previous start. So if Matt Waldron doesn't have his knuckleball, there's still another safety net before it becomes a bad start. And that's actually kind of appealing. I know it's very reductive in just saying, well, it's binary, or it's, I guess, three outcomes are all equal. But it is something to think about, like, okay, how much do we believe the knuckleball is going to be there? We've seen that about 50% of the time. That means that it's above a 50% rate, because there's also a chance that the other stuff will come through, right? So that's kind of why I've been more encouraged about Waldron. This was a game where the second option or plan B wasn't good. Plan C is failure. So I'm going to give this a shot against the Diamondbacks next for Matt Waldron. He still got some whiffs on that knuckleball. He got 3 of them at least. It's not like it's just all bad, but yeah, he needs more consistency with that knuckleball for him to really be something that you pump your fist all the time, having Matt Waldron. Yonny Chirinos against the Phillies. This was without Bryce Harper and Schwarber. I don't know about Real Muto, but at the very least, those two out of the lineup, you may be thinking this could work. And I'll be honest with you, he actually did execute the slider. 47% CSW. Phillies hit some mistakes, and everything else was meh. But he gets the White Sox, and there is a chance for Chirinos. You know, it's like, I say in the roundup, don't settle for less. It's like, you're settling for less if you go for Chirinos. But honestly, in your deeper league, NL only, like, Chirinos, that's fine. Like, five innings should be okay. He's dancing with the disco, and I got to make that in the glossary because that is the Tony Disco or Anthony Scafani play of throwing lots of sliders at the plate, and that works. So he's doing that consistently at the very least. Luis Severino against the Astros, 7 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. This was a world where he threw 63% sinkers. Severino, the guy that was the model for the Yankees of 4-seamer slider changeup, threw 63% sinkers. What? It's really weird. One whiff on 18 secondaries. Yes, the Astros, 14% saves. They'll be like, this is just why I'm just not in on Severino. I know he had the 10 strikeout game. Maybe he's just a cherry bomb. I hate weird. That's all. Patrick Corbin against the Rays, 6 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. 32% cutters and 30% sliders. Oh my gosh, he's experimenting. That's like 2/3. Or I guess only 1/3, not sliders and cutters, like 1/3 fastballs. Yes! And he had that one game of Blake Snell Blueprint that worked. Like, there are things that can work with Patrick Corbin. But yeah, he doesn't do it. It was still not a good start. It wasn't even a very, very poor quality start or whatever. It was a very poor, poor start. Because he had 4 runs and there's no quality in there. Okay. Spencer Schwellenbach against the Pirates. Oh, this was so frustrating. He had 2 really bad pitches, and they were both 2-run shots. It was 5 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Oh, it was a really bad cutter, I believe, to O'Neill Cruz. He just launched. Like, with a cutter to a lefty, it can be really bad if you get it over the middle of the plate. But the thing about a cutter to a lefty is that if you get it inside, it destroys them. It's kind of like a sinker to a right-hander. You don't want over in the middle of the plate, but you want inside of them, right? And this one was pretty, like, inside middle in. It was like, oh, meaty galore. He destroyed it. Then he threw a splitter. I think it was to Rowdy Tellez that was supposed to be away and down, and it was inside, and it was just like this complete golf thing down the line, just completely destroyed. And that was it. And it's so annoying. It's like you had 7 Ks. You were 34% CSW. You did all the things that you wanted, and... oh, those 2 stupid pitches. And like, I'm making excuses. I get it. And this is what baseball is a lot. Like, if you look at every single guy's bad earned run game, like, you find excuses. Like, oh, it was just this, and this. And I totally get it. But watching it, I was like, no, you were so close. Yeah. So you don't really want to risk it with Schwellenbach against the Phillies, I think, even with the worst lineup. But like, understand that I think there will be a time that Schwellenbach really does get into a proper groove. Right, and that will be a positive thing. It might not happen this year, but I don't see Schwellenbach as one of those you're going to forget about him, whatever, guys. Like, no, you see this, 34% CSW. I think, like, you're going to hear in the offseason, Spencer Schwellenbach is a sleeper pick or whatever. And, like, yeah, he could be. But he also could just kind of fizzle out, like a Louis Varland kind of thing, too. So we'll see how this goes. Cole Irvin against the Rangers, 3.2 innings of 5 runs and 5 hits and 2 walks and 2 strikeouts. And fortunately, that's Cole Irvin, even though he's lefty against the Rangers, which should be good. You want to start him against the Athletics? Go ahead if you want. I don't want to do that. Tyler Anderson against the Tigers, unfortunately, did not go well. I don't really think he pitched that poorly, you know? But like... He put this changeup down in arm side as he did, and the four-seamer wasn't that good. The Tigers came through. I mean, the Tigers every so often can do well, so whatever. I'm going to start him against Wrigley, Tyler Anderson. We're going to brush that off. We have Cal Hendricks against the Brewers, 3.2 innings of 7 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. It's kind of funny. I associated with the Brewers a little bit, and I realized I could just associate Craig Counsell with the Brewers. I'm like, Cal Hendricks and Craig Counsell are the same person. 54% CSW breaker on 13th throw. Thrown, which is a really important thing here because that's the curveball that I talked about with the Giants that he introduced. I was like, hey, that worked. I didn't really think it was going to happen a second time and work, and it did. But I'm like, yeah, but like, is that going to work against anyone but the Giants? And yeah, it didn't. It, like, the 54% CSW was cool, and he allowed 700 runs in 3.2 innings. So like, right. Even with that curveball being okay, it's still Kyle Hendricks. Okay. These two I want to spend more time on, which is Kevin Gausman against the Yankees first. 4.1 innings of 7 runs, 7 hits, 5 walks, and 7 Ks. And the big thing here, splitter is just bad. People are going to point to the four-seamer getting destroyed and all this kind of stuff. It's because the splitter had a 34% strike rate in just five whiffs. But, like, because that splitter is not this absurd weapon, this vicious thing that guys are just trying to avoid getting destroyed by, they are just teeing off the four-seamer. I mean, that makes all the sense. So you have to treat him like a cherry bomb, really, at this point. And then you have Ranger Suarez against the Marlins. This was a disappointing one. I watched this, and it didn't really feel like Suarez was that different. But, yeah, zero strikeouts, three whiffs, because the changeup was 10 for 21 strikes. And I feel like this is another start of just Suarez just not really being, you know, fully locked in with everything. Like, he was generally there. Like, he was able to move across the plate and stuff. And, like, it was, for the most part, but he had a really tough at-bat against Jess Chisholm. And he got a single on that. And that was well-deserved. And, like, I saw a lot of these. And I was just like, yeah, that, you know, wasn't great. And this is kind of the guy that I expected. I'm not saying that he's, you know, he's going to lose the ace. He's going to ace tag. He already has. Like, he's showing this. And it's like, yeah, like, you're showing the cracks in the armor too much. And you're going to be an ace potential tag. But, yeah, Ranger Suarez, okay, his stuff isn't overwhelming enough that when it's not perfectly precise, that it still wins, right? It's rare to have an ace is going to ace guy that has zero strikeouts. It's just not really a thing that we do. So, this was also against the Marlins, and it feels like a one-night bland, yes, but yeah, he's not an ace. He's not an ace. I'm really sorry to say it, Ranger Suarez, but we know this. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. I mean, we're very long in this podcast. Today, it's six guys, all right? You don't need me for this. Tomorrow, I am going to start Mackenzie Gore. If you want to put him in the probable start, fine, but I'm going to start Mackenzie Gore against the Mets. Probably Hunter Brown, too, against the Jays. You have tomorrow's games, Eric Skubal, Grayson Rodriguez, George Kirby, Ronaldo Lopez, Cutter Crawford, Dylan Cease. All of those are pretty obvious to me. Probable start to Luis Gil. I know he looked really bad last time. It's the Reds. You're going to do that. Nathan Eovaldi, Mitch Keller. And then you get kind of into, like, really questionable probable start. I don't, you know, where we are here, like Kyle Gibson against Pittsburgh, fine. Brady Singer against the Rays. I feel like the sinker slide is good enough. Then really you get into that questionable start, that borderline one where it's like Sean Manaea is my streaming pick against the Nationals. Let's go Grimace. You have Zach Littell against the Royals. They're not doing well, and a lot of sliders in the zone works, and he's fine. Jose Berríos did well last time with the curveball, and maybe that works against the Astros. And you have, I feel like you're going to do this. He's just a great undulator. Simeon Woods Richardson, which chat wanted me to move up higher. Maybe I should against Detroit. I just feel like his ceiling is just too low, and I don't know. He's just not that great. Bobby Miller against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to do it because I just believe he's going to click in. But if you want to bench him until he figures it out, I totally get that too. And Mitch Spence against the Angels. Don't overlook that. I feel like his slider and his cutter are good enough that you generally should just throw those in the zone and it works well enough for like five innings or six innings at two earned runs. Questionable start is Jose Soriano coming off the IL against Athletics. I mean, really, it's just like the minimum stay on the IL. Really just like missed like one or two starts and that's it. You have Spencer Arrighetti against the Jays after he just did really well. But we know that we can't trust that he's just going to have the same control in the zone. You have Chris Flexen against the Guardians in the do not start tier. Flexen actually has moments of good command. He showcased kitchen sink before, and like maybe that works, but it's in Cleveland, so you don't want to do it. Carlos Carrasco's on the other side of that, and I'm happy his leash is like 5-6 innings against the White Sox, but like no. DJ Hers against the Mets, I just think he's too inconsistent with what he does, and the Mets are too hot right now. Valente Belazzo did well, minimum like lower pitch count against the Red Sox, no thanks. Hayden Wesneski, same lower pitch count. It's a weaker Phillies team, but it's also just a sweeper, no thank you. Graham Ashcraft against the Yankees. Maybe it works this time, but probably not. Michael Mercado is making his first start in the majors. He had one inning last week for the Phillies. I don't really think he's that electric. He has a good enough curveball. There's a cutter for strikes, I guess, in a 94 to 95 mile per hour fastball, but it's a debut. Really, I'm going to treat it like one. And I don't think the ceiling is high enough here to justify this. Hayden Birdsong against the against Atlanta. I didn't really like what I saw last week, and it's Atlanta. Ryan Nelson against the Dodgers, no way. And Ryan Feltner against Dallas Keuchel in Coors. Are you joking? Absolutely not. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.